Hello. I think I know most everybody here, but in case I don't, my name is Jake and I am the youth pastor at Grandview. When the lockdowns first started over a year ago, my favorite pizza place on the drive closed, La Pace Pizza. It had an expert balance of authentic and cheap. Their garlic sauce was transcendent. And they delivered to our apartment in under 20 minutes every time. During our first 6 months of marriage, my wife Jenny and I became dependent on delivery pizza. But then the first COVID lockdown happened and La Pace shut. We didn't know if it would ever open again, and we felt the heaviness of that absence. It was at that absence and feeling our deep need for delivery pizza when we realized just how beautiful La Pace was. When something beautiful is absent, it can be an opportunity to reflect in a unique way on that beauty. I'm hoping a similar principle is applicable to our Easter celebration. Over the years, when I've asked youth what their most treasured church memory is, over and over again, they say Easter and greening the cross. This is the second year in a row where we aren't lining up together with flowers to place on the cross, though the Siamacos did make some pretty baller art this year. I think that this disruption to our normal practice might be a good opportunity to grasp the beauty of greening the cross. So for our Easter sermon this year, we're going to take some time reflecting on that practice. First, considering the symbol of the cross and its meaning, then what it might mean to green the cross in the context of telling the story of Jesus's resurrection, and then connecting that Easter practice to our particular neighborhood. The cross is an overly familiar symbol that has been sterilized and disconnected from its context in the Gospels and history. The form of Jesus's death is not coincidental to its meaning, and it wasn't coincidental to Jesus's life. Crucifixion was a horrific and public humiliation. It was torture and terrorism. The Gospels spend an inordinate amount of time telling the story of Jesus' death, and in particular, they detail the humiliation, emphasizing the mocking of Jesus by the authorities. Crucifixion was a form of death designed to make people look away. The Roman philosopher Cicero said, "Let even the name of the cross be kept away from the bodies of the citizens of Rome, but also from their thought, sight, and hearing." Jesus was killed like that because of how he lived. He preached the kingdom of God, freedom from oppressive religious observance. He challenged the status quo of injustice, identified with the marginalized, and had dinner with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was nonviolent, but he was not non-confrontational. He picked the fight. He confronted the evil of the world. In the Gospels, Jesus sets decisively out towards Jerusalem, towards the unthinkable death and torture of crucifixion, because by dying, he would free those captive to their sins and the evil of the world. This is how Christ broke the chains. The deep love of Jesus led to his complete abandonment by those he loved. A forsakenness that was unique and unrepeatable. Jürgen Moltmann comments on that sacrifice, saying, "When the pains of love are accepted, they deepen love. When the pains of love are accepted, they deepen love." In Jesus' crucifixion, we see God's love for all those who are abandoned and who suffer. The cross is a symbol of the pain that Jesus accepted out of love for us. The decorating of a torture device with greenery and flowers is a strange tradition. Why do we place flowers on the cross on Easter? What do flowers have to do with the story? The story of Jesus' resurrection is told differently in each of the Gospels. There seems to be more mystery to Jesus' resurrection life than his pre-cross life. In our text today, we hear the story of Mary at the grave. Mary had watched the crucifixion. She witnessed the death of Jesus. At the open tomb, Mary wept as she looked in. Two angels were there, but Jesus' body was not. The angels asked her why she was crying. Mary told them she was crying because someone had taken Jesus' body and moved it. When Mary turned around to look for the body, Jesus was there. Jesus asked her the same question. Why are you crying? Now, it's early in the morning, and Mary is startled, confused, and heartbroken, so we can forgive her for not recognizing Jesus. She thought Jesus was the gardener. She asked the gardener if he knew where Jesus' body had been taken. Mary asked Jesus if he knew where Jesus was. At that point in the story, I wonder if Jesus paused before answering. Then Jesus said, Mary. And Mary recognized Jesus. Mary recognized Jesus when he said her name. If you're wondering what part of the story I liked most, it's that one. This year, as I reflected on Jesus being mistaken for a gardener and how that might relate to the greening of the cross, my nerd brain went to the greatest gardener in all of Western literature, Samwise Gamgee. For those of you who don't know, Samwise Gamgee is the hero of The Lord of the Rings. In the books, Gamgee's love of growing things and his prowess in the garden is referenced often. He is a hobbit who yearns for his home and his garden through all his journeys. When Sam and his hobbit sidekicks finally return, their home is devastated. Many of the houses were burned down, the hobbit holes were deserted, gardens gone to weeds, and the trees that lined the streets were all cut down. The ruffians who had caused all this destruction even cut down the party tree. The party tree was the center of festive life in Hobbiton, where Bilbo gave his famous birthday speech, and it was gone. When Sam saw that tree had been cut down, he wept. That moment feels similar to ours at Grandview. A lot of what has tied us together, the threads that connected our shared life together, those threads are frayed. We had a rough couple of years, and a lot of our relationships are strained. It feels like COVID and company have chopped down our party tree. But we should not despair. Back in Shire, after the hobbits got rid of the ruffians, Samwise got to work. This is where the Jesus-iness of Sam is most clearly seen. A ways back in the story, in Lothlorien, the Lady Galadriel gave Sam a special seed in some soil that Samwise carried all over Middle Earth with him. And in the epilogue, Sam plants that seed where the party tree stood. Sam took the soil and dusted little saplings that he planted wherever his most beloved trees had been destroyed. Sam's gardening focused on the parts of the Shire most hurt by evil. And the next spring, those saplings sprouted in a hurry, and the seed that he planted where the party tree stood, that seed was already a flowering tree. That's my one visual aid for the sermon. I'm gonna put it back here. New life popped up in the places most devastated by evil. I think that we can expect the risen Jesus to show up in the same types of places where Samwise concentrated, in the broken places. We can enter those heavy parts of our story expecting to meet the risen Jesus, because resurrection and new life flows from the heaviest part of the whole story, the crucifixion of God with us. Our salvation and creation's renewal grows out of Christ's suffering and death. Jesus's crucified and risen body is the seed of the kingdom of God. He is the firstborn from among the dead and the promise of the renewal of all things. He is our party tree. When we take our flowers and place them on the cross, we are saying that our life now and the life to come, are rooted in the cross, in the sacrifice of Jesus. Greening the cross is a way of reveling in that strange, inverse, flip-flop, upside-down mystery of the gospel, the good news that Jesus' death made new life possible. The fullest vision of God's love is revealed in a public execution designed to make people turn their eyes away. Our comfort is rooted in a story that makes us deeply uncomfortable. Because Jesus was cast out, we have been brought in. Because he suffered alone, we can share in fellowship with God and each other. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, a symbol of oppression and injustice can be transformed into a symbol of abundant life. Even though you're muted, feel free to say amen. Greening the cross is a way of grasping that upside down gospel and being formed by it. On Easter, we celebrate that good news and look for it right here in our home, in our neighborhood. Even in the midst of a heavy year coming after a heavy couple of years, we can see that resurrection hope sprouting up in the hopeless places. I think that we can see that hope in the movement towards racial justice here in North America. It's out of the injustices unmasked through cell phone videos and protests that we can see the evil that endures and flourishes in our society. Sprouting out of that uncomfortable truth is the resurrection hope of repentance in concrete actions that move towards justice. If we can stay in that uncomfortable part of the story, we can have hope of transformation. Discomfort is the genesis of a lot of hopeful stories. Or take a more environmental example. 2 years ago, I read a story about False Creek. For the first time in nearly a century, herring hatched in False Creek. False Creek is a stagnant cauldron of effluent infested with gross neon algae. It's gross. That apparently godforsaken place saw 300 million herring hatch because some people didn't think False Creek was beyond hope. And they went to that uncomfortable place and wrapped plastic mesh around creosote pylons so that the herring eggs wouldn't get poisoned. And 300 million herring hatched. A closer and much more trivial example is the old Starbucks on 2nd and Commercial. A place that used to be the site of a corporate coffee neighborhood personality vampire is being replaced by a locally owned, affordable, and tasty Mexican restaurant. That's good news. The movement from injustice towards justice and reconciliation, from creation desecrated to creation renewed, from Starbucks to locally owned and delicious Mexican food, that transformation is resurrection work. Greening the cross teaches us to look for new life in the place of death. These flowers and new life are rooted in the love of Jesus expressed in the cross. So this Eastertide, on your strolls around the neighborhood, if you spot a place of resurrection transformation, pick a dandelion or some other flower that folks won't get mad at you for picking, and lay it down. Try and green the cross in your particular place as a way of grasping hold of the hope of a savior who can transform the cross into a symbol of abundant life. And if you pass 2nd and Commercial and see a pile of dandelions in front of the old Starbucks, feel free to say to yourself, he is risen indeed. So this week, bring your flowers as a symbol of Christ's transformation of death into life, and green the cross of our neighborhood. Go now in the power of the resurrection and seek for ways to enter more fully into that story, participating with Jesus as he cultivates his kingdom in our neighborhood. Amen.